Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is Internet Marketing. Hello everyone and welcome to episode 189 of Internet Marketing, brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com.
That's us, that's me, that's Site Visibility.
Mr. Newman, what are we talking about today?
So, as many of you will know, I'm a big fan of kind of looking into science, looking into economics, looking into psychology, looking into sociology, and seeing what kind of knowledge they've got there, the interesting stuff that they've learned from these scientific studies that they've carried out, and trying to learn about that as marketers, because if we want to try and influence people and make them purchase certain things or do certain things, we need to understand why people think and act the way that they do. So this is kind of a two-part episode where I'm going to go into 15 in total different kind of phenomena or trends that I'll try and explain what they are, and I'll only scratch the surface because these are kind of huge, complex, you know, areas in each of their own right, but hopefully they're ones where, and I'd recommend just going off and reading the Wikipedia pages about them, because they'll give you a kind of a great insight to them. But
so we're going to cover 7.5 in each show.
Yeah, I think we'll probably go with 6 in the first, 8 in the second. No,
okay,
yeah,
so that, right? Or however it's
six in the first anyway.
Okay,
and then 9. No, anyway. So the first of these is kind of choice supportive bias, right? So choice supportive bias. And this is the tendency to remember one's choices as better than they actually were. So, and how do you take advantage of this as a marketer? Well, it tends to be that basically decisions we've made in the past might well have not been that rational or that good a decision, but after the event, we tend to believe that we made better decisions. So what do we need to do about this? Well, you need to make sure that when people are making their first purchasing decision about you, that they're, you know, it's kind of perhaps really helping them make that first decision, maybe even making a loss leader, maybe even not really making a huge amount of profit for that first purchase, because then if it's the kind of area that they make frequent purchases, you're in a strong position. So to give you an example of this, perhaps the first time I'm shopping around, is, you know, I develop a new hobby. I'm suddenly interested in home brewing. And I kind of shop round when I'm buying my first homebrew kit, and, you know, look around 20 shops and look at all their delivery prices. And the one I finally go with is, you know, kelvinsbreweryshop.com, because it offers, you know, cheaper delivery. Everyone else is charging £10 delivery and he's only charging £2.50 delivery. Then afterwards, I will believe that always that they have the cheapest delivery, if indeed that was just an introductory offer, or it's £2.50, you know, for new account holders, or it's £2.50 when you're purchasing a kit. But if you're purchasing anything bigger, it's £10 again, if you see what I mean. And I always tend to believe that. And often you get the same kind of thing with cheapness as well. So it might well be first time you purchase from someone, they seem really cheap, even though if afterwards they're actually about the same, you'll still perceive them to be cheap, even if they weren't. So kind of think about that first choice that people are making, because they, you know, and kind of emotional decisions can often play into this. So you will often think you might have, you know, bought a brand the first time round because you know, for entirely emotional, irrational decisions that you've got. But then afterwards you will believe that you made a valid assessment based on positives and, you know, rational decisions that you've made there. So just think about that. That's choice supportive bias. Next up is decoy effect. Now, the language here is a little bit, you know, kind of confusing, but it's the preferences change when there is a third option that is asymmetrically dominated, right?
Oh, is this the, like, the prices are £1, £2 and £1,000?
Yeah, that's, that's anchoring. That's a bad example. It's similar, yeah. similar kind of thing. But basically, this might be a case where, say you've got two laptops to choose between, and one has 1 gig of RAM, and the other one's got 1.2 gig of RAM. And, you know, one's got, you know, so you've got two computers, one's got, you know, more memory, one's got a faster processor, and you don't really know which one to choose, right? Mm. If you add a third option in that has, you know, the same RAM, so say you've got, okay, let's use numbers, this is easy to do from that perspective. So you've got a 1 gig RAM versus 1.5 gig RAM, yeah? They're the two options, and on the other one you've got like a 32 gig hard drive, and the other one's got like a 16 gig hard drive, right? And they're your two options. And it's tricky to go, well, which is more important, the RAM or the hard drive, right? Mm. Find a third option that has 1 gig RAM, so the worse RAM, but a 16 gig hard drive. Suddenly the one that's got the 1 gig RAM, do you see what I mean? It's kind of that by adding one option that is, you know, inferior to one of the options,
yeah.
even if the other two are effectively similar, the one that is better than the one that's inferior will win. That makes sense?
Sort of, yeah.
So basically what I'm getting at is sometimes when people have three options, when they've got two options, people struggle to make decisions. If you want to steer people in a certain direction, you can take one of those options and add something that compares but is inferior to, similar but inferior to, one of those options. People will tend to go towards the one that is superior to the other one. So, you know, that can happen quite frequently. So it might be a kind of, you know, it's all the same, but it's got like a, you know, a slightly different setup. So that's worth thinking about there in terms of when people have to make decisions, consider what the impact of another option within it, even if it is an inferior option, that can influence the decision. There's also kind of distinction bias. So this is the tendency to view two options as more dissimilar when evaluating them simultaneously than when evaluating them separately, right? So this is the kind of, if you put two products in a comparison chart, so to continue the laptop analogy there, or smartphone analogy, if you put your iPhone in column one and your Samsung Galaxy in your column two, and you put them in a comparison chart and ask people how different they are, they'll say, yeah, they're really, really different. The specs are hugely different. Whereas if you put them on two different pages, people will see them as more similar, right? Even if the specs are the same. So think about that if you're trying to steer people again in a certain direction and you know that people have a choice, a difficult choice between two products, putting them in comparison tables can be a great way to kind of steer them in certain directions. So that's kind of the distinction bias. So when you put two things in opposition to each other, people see them as more different than perhaps when they're comparing two things in a different setting there as well.
So it's almost like the closer together they are, the more they see the differences.
Yeah. That's a very good way of putting it.
Sorry, yes. Yeah, I was just trying to succinctly sum up what you'd said, Calvin.
Next up, we've got the experimenter's bias, right? And this is kind of a general scientific thing, right? But this is kind of the tendency to believe data that agrees with our expectations and to disbelieve, discard, or downgrade data that appears to conflict with our expectations. And you see this a lot in kind of A-B testing, or kind of where people are testing different pay-per-click advertising. Always bear in mind that it is, you know, innate within us that we will tend to see the patterns that we want to take from data. So, you know, it's quite often we can give two data sets to two different groups of people and they take completely different analyses thereof. So we're big advocates of, you know, test, you know, on the Internet Marketing Podcast, test these different things. But just remember that you will see within the data the trends you want to see. So sometimes it's best to let someone else assess the data who perhaps is a little bit more of an objective, practical distance from it. So bear that in mind, the experimenter's bias. And this is kind of more to do like with product photography if you're working in e-commerce environments. And this is the idea of functional fixedness, which is kind of best exemplified by the candle problem, which was an experiment that's taken place. I think I might have mentioned this before. So say that I give you, imagine we have Andy 1 and Andy 2. Andy 1, I say, Andy, you need to fix this candle to the wall, right? Mm. And I present to you a candle, a like box of matches, and a box containing some tacks, some drawing pins. And what Andy will do to try and fix it to the wall. You know, what would you do given that environment? You go,
I'd melt the base and ram it into the wall.
Yeah, there you go. Or you might try and kind of construct some kind of, you know, tap, you know, tack it to the wall or all these types of things.
By hitting it with a candle.
Yeah, and using the drawing pins to affix the candle to the wall. Now, if I were to go, if I give to Andy two, the candle, the box of matches, the tacks and drawing pins, and a box. So suddenly the tacks aren't within the box, right? They're separate to it.
I'd give it all to Andy one.
Well, you give it all to Andy one. But no, what Andy two would probably be a little bit quicker to do, which is the correct solution, is thumbtack the box to the wall and then put the candle in the box, right? Because what's happened in that environment is, and they kind of use this test quite frequently to look at, you know, kind of creativity and do incentives, make you more creative and that kind of thing, is in the first environment, you see the function of the box is to hold the tacks. In the second environment, the tacks aren't in the box. The box is just a box. And it kind of, you look at things in a different way. So that's kind of, you know, it, you know, function fixing this limits a person's, you know, to using an object only in the way it's traditionally used. And I think this is kind of quite a lot why you see things like in the Kindle adverts where people are showing them in the different environments. So think about that when you're putting together your product photography. If you're showing your product in use, that's going to influence the way that people perceive that that would be used in quite a dramatic and pronounced way. So if you are kind of showing photos in use, which is a good thing to do, try and think about having varieties of them from that perspective.
So using your product in all different sorts of scenarios.
Okay, and our final kind of idea is the idea of hyperbolic discounting. Now, hyperbolic discounting is the tendency that people have to have a stronger preference for more immediate payoffs relative to later payoffs, where, and the tendency kind of increases the closer to the present both payoffs are, right? So
what's that in English, Kelvin? Okay,
in English, that is the kind of fact that people tend to have a preference for something, an immediate reward in terms of a long term award.
Oh, is this the old kids saying you can have two sweets if you don't eat the first one or something?
Yeah, so it's a kind of, yeah, ish. Exactly. Yeah, exactly that. So it's, yeah, a kind of, someone would rather have one sweet now than two sweets in 2 weeks' time, right? Which, okay, maybe makes sense. It's kind of about the bonus now versus the time in the front. But bizarrely, to continue that analogy, so if I say you can have one sweet now or two sweets in 2 weeks' time, right? There will be a split. So probably, I don't know, 80% of people will say, well, I'll have the one sweet now rather than two sweets in 2 weeks' time. But if you say you can have one sweet now versus two sweets tomorrow, bizarrely, unintuitively, completely against expectations, more people will go for the one sweet now. And it's just about the way we think, and particularly in kind of financial situations. So I think the sweets one kind of falls down a bit there. But if you would say, do you want £100, you know, cash back now versus £200 in a year's time? More people go for the £200 in 2 years' time than £200 in 6 months' time, which is bizarre. But you need to understand, anybody who's doing any kind of discounting or incentivizing or cash rebates or discounts in the future or savings if you purchase things over a period of time, you need to be looking into things like hyperbolic discounting. So there's a few ideas there. Hopefully I've kind of given a rough idea of what they sound like, but definitely worth sort of checking these ideas out, because there is this scientific proof. And if you've got to price anything, if you've got to choose how you structure a page of your site, you need to kind of at least have a familiarity with some of these concepts. And I think it makes your life and your ability to convert your traffic into customers a little bit easier.
Okay, Calvin. I look forward to part two, where we will cover the remaining ones.
Yes.
With those strange scientific-sounding names that sound a bit like sort of slightly embarrassing diseases, but never mind. Okay, so we'll see you next time on Internet Marketing. Goodbye from me, Andy White.
And goodbye from me, Kevin Newman.
We'll see you next time on Internet Marketing, brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. You can find us on the internet at www.internetmarketingpodcast.org, where you'll find show notes, links, and instructions on how to subscribe. We would absolutely love to get feedback, comments, and questions from you. If you want to send an email, send it to kelvin.newman@sitevisibility.com. Also, feel free to comment on the website. And if you'd like to use our voice line number, if you're outside of the UK, it's +44 1273 256 150. If you're inside the UK, it's 01273 256 150. And you can leave a voice comment or question and we'll play it on the show. Also, we would absolutely be delighted if you would give us a rating on iTunes itself. Well, that's it for now. Andy White is signing off until next week on Internet Marketing.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.